greet each one of you in Jesus' name again this morning. For a message this morning, I want to look at, first of all, you can turn to Psalms 86 for a verse to start with. The title of the message is A Teachable Spirit. I had to think as we were sitting here about the how our Lord, how Jesus, our supreme example, how he came to earth as a baby and grew up and learned many things, and he submitted himself to that. And if Jesus needed to do that and was willing to do that, then we need to exercise that ourselves. Psalm 86, verse 11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Teach me thy way, O Lord, a teachable spirit. I'm sure we all understand that we have a lot to learn. At least I have a lot to learn. And it seems like the older you get and the more you try to learn, the less you know and the less you understand. It seems like you know, in comparison to so, that there is so much to learn that you realize you don't know that much. God has given us the ability to learn. Everyone that is responsible and accountable is able to absorb a lot, to store a lot in their brain. Brain has an amazing storage capacity. Just thought it was interesting. Looked up a little bit about how much people think the brain can hold, and there's guesses all over the board, but they guess between 1,000 gigabyte to 2.5. I don't know how to even petabyte. I guess is the right word. And that's somewhere around 2.5 million gigabyte, I think, if I have my figures right. And I know on my phone the storage capacity right now is somewhere around 12 gigabyte. So you think about 1,000 gigabyte to 2.5 million. Of course, the brain does not operate the same. There's different. It's a completely different setup than anything that man has made. The brain is an amazing thing that God has given us. Anyway, the point is that the brain's not the problem when you're not learning. It's simply because you don't want to. We have this nature. We're born with a nature or a will that is not really teachable. And it seems that shows up in some natures more than others. As we think about children and how readily they learn and receive correction or how unreadily, there is differences in nature, but there in the makeup of a child, but there is that nature within that tends to rebel against that. And I guess that's one of the things that we try to do, we should be trying to do with our children, is to help them to overcome that and to desire to learn and to be willing to learn. Our desire to learn and the things that we see as important will direct our learning and will eventually shape who we are. You think about that, how willing we are to learn and how important the importance we place on things to learn will eventually become who we are. In Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." And I think that verse points out to us that we need more wisdom than what man is able to give. And that's partly what we have in mind in this message, is that we need God's input into our life. We can't do it on our own without the Word of God. We have to take the Word of God and learn it and apply it to our lives and also learn from each other. Sometimes we hear the saying that experience is the best teacher. You think about that in some aspects, it probably is true. If you're learning how to ride a bicycle, you could sit down and study for a couple of days and learn all the study the techniques and all that, but you really have to get out there and do it before you really know how. And there's other things. But when we think about the things of life, the most important things, God says that that he shows us the way to go. And he tells us and gives us promises that there are blessings in that way. And he tells us the way not to go. And we don't have to go out and experience that way before we can believe what God has said. The fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. See, he don't want to understand. He don't want to believe what God has said. So he has to figure it out himself. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's many verses in the Bible that talk about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom, and how fools despise to learn, and they just turn from it. So we know that if we want to learn, we can't be a fool and turn from instruction. We have to be wise and heed to things that are out there to learn. And of course, the things that God has said is the most important. What God has said will come to pass. It is important. And when God speaks, we need to perk up and listen. God told us that he gave us the law of sowing and reaping. He said, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. And there's really no other way for it to be done. You can experiment with it. You can try and be a fool, but it still comes back that what God said is right. There's a saying that says, a wise man chooses his destiny and accepts the way. A fool chooses the way and accepts the destiny. I'm sure you heard that saying before, but it's a part of what we want to learn. Well, this verse in Psalm 86, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. A couple things I'd like to notice out of that verse. And the first thing is the desire for instruction. Teach me thy way. I think we understand that. I think we're all willing to learn. We want to know what is right, but it shows the desire to receive instruction. And then it says, O Lord, the recognition of where truth is found. We come to God to understand the things of life and to his word. It is a blessing that we have to have God's word here with us this morning. Suppose that God had put us here and didn't give us any direction. I'm sure it'd be chaos, and God knew that. But we look to God. And he says, I will walk in thy truth. It's a desire to learn. We understand where truth comes from. And since we see that, we're committed to follow. I will walk in thy truth. And then he says, unite my heart to fear thy name. We have a tendency to try to go two ways. But he says, unite my heart, or bring it into one thought, is bring it into one path, and not be a double-minded or double-hearted, not be trying to walk both ways at once, the path of the fool and the path of the wise, but rather that we come to God, accept his teaching, and stay in his teaching. Well, thinking about teachableness, there is a difference between teachableness and gullibleness. God has told us, given us his word. He gives us guidelines to live by, and I think we need to be careful that we live by them, and that we correct, or that we sound everything off of the word of God. I like the thought that the Bereans, they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And it's necessary that everyone does that. What the preacher says Sunday morning, he tries to say it right. But make sure that it's right according to the word of God. And let's not be gullible with it, especially when it comes to things of doctrinal issues and the new counseling centers or whatever, that something seems so right and they answer so many questions. Well, let's make sure that they're based on the word of God. Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so we need to exercise the wisdom that God has given us, and we take the word of God and use it for a shield. Also, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, when we think about making sure that we are understanding things correctly, in verse 11, he says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." You see, the things that God has given to us to give us stability and to give us learning, and where we can learn and become, grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He doesn't give us worldly wisdom to do this, but he gives us the working of the church. He talks about the different gifts that he gives. And it's to help us to grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we're not tossed around and being gullible. So there is the aspect that in teachableness that we need to understand why it's important, what is being taught is important. Let's make sure we dig into the Word of God. A couple of points on how we obtain a teachable spirit, or how we grow in being teachable. Number one is to understand our need of wisdom. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. I guess we already talked about some about our need for teaching. Proverbs chapter 2. I'll read the first 12 verses. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for righteousness. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil men, from the man that speaketh froward things." We see how much we need wisdom there. He's pleading there for his son to receive the wisdom that is available. And he talks about, I think it's so important that we see that God is the one that gives wisdom. "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." It's not from other sources. And when we learn, it's so good that we learn from Bible-based material. And that's because it is the wisdom that comes from God. He says that in verse 10 there, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart," notice the blessing of wisdom, "when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, and it'll deliver." So we need to understand our need of wisdom. We're not able to do it on our own. And God brings us, God works with us. I think God places us sometimes in circumstances where we understand more our need of wisdom. When God gives you children, you understand it pretty quick that you need the wisdom of God and many circumstances of life. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." God doesn't scorn us because we don't know. He says, just ask for it and he will give it to us, because God knows our frame. He knows that we're made of dust, and he knows that we need understanding, and therefore he's very, very willing to give it out. We think of the wisest man that ever lived. Look at a verse about him, 1 Kings 3, verse 9. First Kings 3, verse 9. says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? This was Solomon in his prayer, in his petition to God, when God came to him and asked him what he wanted. It was a heart that could understand. And I think that's why Solomon was a wise man, is because God answered that prayer. It wasn't because Solomon had the answers in himself. It was because he wanted God's wisdom. Ezra 8:21 says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, for our little ones and for all our substance." There they sought the wisdom of the Lord. And we need to do that to understand our need of teaching. When Paul was struck down there on the way to Damascus, he was a teachable person. He thought he knew what he was doing, but he understood when he came to himself there that he needed more teaching. And his question to Jesus was, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And we need to have that as well. Okay, another thing is childlike humility and openness. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, 1-5 says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such child in my name, receiveth me." There Jesus is pointing out the necessity of the humility and openness. You know, you can take a child, and even though their nature sometimes is bent on doing wrong, you can sit that child down and you can teach them, and they will receive it, especially if there is a relationship there. And that's the way we need to grow in teachableness too. There is a verse, I thought I had it here somewhere. Paul told, I think it was the Corinthians, that don't be like children in understanding, be men in understanding. But here he's pointing out the thing of how they're willing to learn and willing to receive instruction. And that's how we need to be as well. Acts 8:31, talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, when Philip asked if he understood, he said, "How can I accept that some man should guide me?" And he wanted Philip to teach him. Again, that humility and openness, that we don't understand it ourselves, but we are willing to be taught. Psalm 25, verse 9 says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." The need of meekness and humility and openness. You can go through the book of Psalms and Proverbs, and there is so much in there about wisdom and how God desires to teach wisdom and how we need to be willing to accept it. Number three, we need to desire the Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." We need to have an appetite for the Word of God. That's how we are taught. That's how we can grow in our teachableness. Also, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Again, how the Word of God supplies the wisdom and the need. It says the correction, reproof, doctrine, correction, instruction, and right in righteousness. The Word of God has the answers, and we need to desire that. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." God has given us the answers in His Word, and we can look back and read these accounts We have the advantage over them that they didn't understand how all things were going to come out, but we can read the story, and we know before we read the story, most times if we're reading it twice anyway, that we know how things turned out, and we can see the whole picture. And they're written so that we can understand that when God makes a promise, and we can read that story, and we see how God keeps his promises, and then it gives us hope, too, that we can trust God for our lives and our future as well. Thinking about the Word of God, we need to understand or grow in our understanding and discernment of the Word of God. You know, when you exercise yourself in a book, you learn how things fit together, and it's the way it is in learning in schools, the way it is in the school of life. When we absorb ourselves in learning things, we grow in it, and we understand the deeper points of our occupation or whatever it is. 1 Corinthians 14:20, here's the verse I referred to earlier. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Growing in understanding and discernment. Don't just skim over the light things. It's beautiful that the Word of God is given to us in a way that we can understand it, even though we're not maybe as smart as some. Every person can take the Word of God and read it and study it and understand it to the point that he can understand what God wants, the plan of salvation. And I believe it goes on from there, that God has designed it, that we get together and we learn more from each other. But there are very basic truths to the Word of God, and yet there are deeper truths that work out in everyday life, and we need to be growing in that understanding. Don't just let it that the doctrines of the Bible understands all that stuff, but let's make sure we understand it and make sure that the doctrines of the Bible wrote it right. 1 Timothy 1:4 says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So godly edifying is important. Questions that stir up more questions are not important. Another verse is, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 9 to 11. Paul is speaking to the group of Christians there at this place. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I thought about that as he says that he's praying for them that they would increase in the knowledge of God. They might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing. And I think there's a key between the wisdom of God and walking in the wisdom of God. We will not increase in understanding unless we're walking in the knowledge that we have. You can't just study and wait to walk. We can't wait to walk in the ways of God until we know all the deep things. It's not going to happen that way. We have to walk in what we know is right, and God will continue to help us to grow in wisdom. Another point I have is willingness to accept teaching the way God has given it to us. And we talked about the Word of God. We have the privilege of having the Bible freely available. And Romans talks about the need of listening to the Word of God. I'm going to just read those verses. Romans chapter 10. I'm not sure which verses to read. I guess I'll start at verse 13. says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Going over then to verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It is necessary that we have the time of getting together and learning more, whether it's in Sunday school or the preaching of the word, the various parts of our church services. I think it's important that we learn and we participate in those things. It would be easy to wish that there was a more glorious way that we could learn. And there was different ways that God revealed his will to man down through time. If you look back in how God came down to the children of Israel in the wilderness there, and there was a tremendous display of God's glory. And yet there was unbelievers in that day as well. And you think about God meeting with Moses, and yet Moses had failures, just like we tend to do. And think about Solomon at the temple, the glory that was revealed there, just down through different times. And yet there was people that didn't listen, didn't learn from those experiences. And so let's just take what God has given us. The Word of God is an amazing book. We're not underprivileged because we have the Word of God and we don't see Mount Sinai. We're not underprivileged at all. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he wished that there was a greater method of preaching that could be done to his brethren. He had five brothers that were still alive. And he begged someone he begged Abraham to send someone back from hell and preach to them. And Abraham told him, said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he saith unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." So it's important that we learn from what God has given us, and we're not underprivileged because we're not at Mount Sinai, or that someone didn't come back from hell. And nobody will come back from hell, and I'd suggest if there's a story that way that you don't even read it. Okay, number 6, be doers of the word. We already talked about that some in Colossians here. James 1, verse 22. James 1, 22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." We need to be doers of the word. If you don't do that, you're like someone that looks and forgets what they see and goes on without regarding it. There's a story in Jeremiah. It's a fairly long story, but I'll just skim over a couple of verses. Jeremiah chapter 42, thinking about being doers of the word, being willing to listen to the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 42, verses 2 and 3. This was a group of men that came to Jeremiah and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, "Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do." Sounds like such a earnest and a sincere plea to know what God wants them to do. If you go over to chapter 43, it says in verse 1, "And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, and these same men," and I'll go try to say their name, "and all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely, the Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. These men were bound and determined that Egypt was their answer. But they come as this pretense of wanting to hear what God desired them to do. And the whole time they had their mind made up what they were going to do. They just labeled the prophet false if he didn't answer them like they did, like they wanted. And let's be careful. I'm sure we don't want to do that. Our minds need to be open to the leading of the Lord. And when we think that Egypt is the answer and the Lord answers otherwise, we need to search the scriptures and make sure make sure we submit to the leading of the Lord. Of course, we don't have exactly the same situation that they do. But let's make sure that we're doers of the word. As we walk in the word of God, these men that had that problem weren't men of God to begin with. That's why they had their minds closed to the truth. But I think as long as we walk in the known will of God, we'll be open to the future leading of God as well. Proverbs chapter 1 again. Verses 24 to 30. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. It's almost scary to read those verses because there is that possibility that we can take the things that God has taught us, and there comes a time when God is just turning his ear away because we refused it. He said that they would none of my counsel and they despised all my reproof. What a shame. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The unbelieving, he mentions there, right along with the rest of them. And it starts in such small things, and I think it's important that we instill it in our children, that we learn from others, and it's not, we don't have the answer in ourselves, but maybe someone else is not doing it right, but you can still learn from what they're doing. And just that attitude of willingness to learn is something that we need to learn early in life. It starts there and continues to go on, and we think about how could it end up. We talk about this verse in Revelation chapter 21, 8. Where he says, the fearful and unbelieving and so on shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Not all the time that we refuse to be taught will we end up there, but that attitude, that if it's ingrained in us and we continue on that path, it is where it will take us. I'm sure the children remember the story of the wise man and the foolish man. Matthew 7:24 says, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. He heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. That's how we grow in understanding. And we know I'm sure you remember the rest of the story, how the foolish man did not hear, did not heed. John 5:24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Again, a doer of the word. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The wisdom of God is available to us this morning. And I'd like to close with the story in Matthew chapter 25. I'll read the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We see the importance of seeking after wisdom. It says these were 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish. I think the foolish didn't prepare themselves. They didn't walk in the way that was necessary. They didn't make the necessary preparation. I don't know what all their problems were, but I think we see a picture here of those that were diligent in the things of life that were necessary, and they were prepared. And you know, there it says that the door was shut. While those that were going after the 5 foolish were going to seek for things they needed, the door was shut. And finally, there is a time when God, if we don't seek after the wisdom of God, there's a time coming that we won't be ready and the door will be shut. So let's be with those that are prepared for God's people. Let's kneel for prayer.